Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I know Wednesday nights are sometimes difficult to come out in the middle of the week when you're working and busy and crazy and things are going on. But it's always good to gather together. But these last few weeks, with all the crazy things going on in this world, it's just good. It's good to come together and sing. It's good to gather, come together and worship and remember why we gather. So join me in Psalm 119. And we're picking up in verse 113. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word tonight, Lord, we seek you. We seek your voice. We seek your comfort. Lord, we seek understanding. Lord, as the psalmist declares throughout this psalm, help us to understand, Lord, your statutes. Give us understanding. Give us meaning and purpose to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Starts out in 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Those that waver, those that take a different position when they're with this crowd, and then when they're with that crowd. I mean, from our headlines, all this stuff going on in Hollywood, and not, I don't want to go off on a soap opera tangent here, but all the stories of that, the people that knew, the people that didn't know, the people that said, hey, if this ever comes out, I'm going to stand by you. And now, I mean, women, stand by women. And now that allegations have been made, they're bailing left and right. And that's the idea of the double-minded. You know, they have nothing to stand on. Nothing like we have the word of God. And he says, but I love your law. Your law, verse 14, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Any of you guys ever read that book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom? There's actually a new updated version out. I encourage you guys to read that. Do you guys know that story? Okay. Okay, that was like a 12-minute filler I had there. I was going to explain, but since most of you are with it, then we'll move on. But that's the idea of the psalmist. No matter what the chaos is going on in the world, God, you're my hiding place and my shield. You're my protector. You're my comforter. You're who I can go to. You're my hope. Your word is my hope. Verse 15, or 115, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked from the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. As you heat like gold or silver, it's the waste or the dross that rises to the top and gets filtered off and scraped off. And it's the bottom that's of value. And he's saying, you put away all the wickedness of the earth like dross. I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Tonight, as we go through, we'll see how far we get. But each of these sections that we go through, feel free to pick out a verse. If there's a verse that stands out, slip a hand up and let me know and read that verse, and we can talk about the verse or why it means something to you coming from your experience. You've lived that place where God was your hiding place and your shield, for example. Verse 121, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Can we say that? My eyes are weary, Lord, from I think there's two applications here. And most of the commentaries talk about it like, my eyes are weary, Lord. I'm searching your word, and I'm spending so much time devouring your word, this love letter that you've given us, that my eyes are weary. I think in this psalm, when you read from beginning to end, that he's anxious and he's wounded and he's hurting, that it's more, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation. God, I'm looking for you to come rescue me. I'm looking for you to be my salvation. And I don't see it yet. It's not happening yet, but my faith is stronger than my experience, than what's going on right now, because I know you are my salvation. And my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word, but I'm waiting on you. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach with me your statutes. I'm so grateful for that. Imagine if God dealt with us in his anger, you know, or in his wrath. I'll take mercy any day. Verse 125, I am your servant. That determination, unwavering, not double-minded. I am your servant. So give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It's time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your laws as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. I love your law. How often do we say that? I mean, we grow up rebelling against, not the law. I mean, well, okay, most of us here. Rebelling against the law. Right, but parents and setting boundaries, and the law is something typically that we want to push boundaries on. But the psalmist has a different understanding of it. There's freedom in the law. You know, the world thinks they have freedom, and they're in bondage because they're not following the law of God. And the psalmist here just gets it. Verse 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Again, as we go through this section, guys, look at the verses, and if there's something that stands out, stop me. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. That's a picture. I've been taking my dog hiking a lot lately. And it doesn't matter if we go 7 miles or I go 7 feet. When he gets back in the truck, it's, you know, he's dying. He's panting. He's just anxious. And that's the picture. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Verse 133, I love this. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Guess whose phone that is? Oh, that was good. At least it's a Wednesday. Okay, 133, that should be our prayer, guys. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Let no sin, let no iniquity rule over me or have control over me. But order my steps. That should be our prayer. Think about our step. How far do we go with each step? How far? One step, right? So if the Lord is ordering our steps, and I take this one and I'm getting off track, but he's telling me, I haven't strayed very far, right? And is that our prayer? Lord, order my steps. Keep me so that no iniquity would rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. You know, I think David knew the scriptures. I think, honestly, he's referring back there to that blessing in Numbers. Turn with me back to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And I think the psalmist, probably in his pain, he's thinking back to that. "Lord, make your face shine upon me, that you would bless me. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." I don't know what the impact of the last couple of weeks of the events in this world has had on you and Vegas and all of that stuff. I hope you've been busy over the last 2 weeks. I know my phone's ringing like crazy. You know, and people want to know why, and people want to talk, and all of a sudden they're questioning all kinds of things. And the psalmist is saying, rivers of water run down. I'm grieved that the world doesn't follow you, Lord, that they've got no regard for your law, because that also means that they're lost. You know, do we have a burden for lost souls? Are we grieved that our neighbors, or not even our neighbors, that our families don't know Jesus? He's saying, rivers of water run down from my eyes. I'm grieving because men don't keep your law. Verse 137, righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. We're striking a lot of verses here, and none of these are hitting anybody. Wow. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. What? Oh. 145. Let's go on. I cry out with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise up before the dawn of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word." Crisis has a way of doing that, doesn't it? Something happens, not even a medical test or something, that like you get a call on Friday and they say, "Hey, give us a call Monday morning. We've got some news," and all weekend long you're praying, you know, but blue lights go on behind you and you're praying, right? Just the immediacy, I don't want to say our affection for God, but we turn to God in those times of crisis. And I cry out to you, save me. I'll do this. I'll keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawn of the morning. I cry out for your help. I hope in your word. You guys have heard me say many times that we're in a world with no hope. But think of the value that the psalmist places on God's word. Because it's not just save my bacon, God. It's constantly referring back to his word. I was having a conversation with somebody today about riches and all these things. And if I just had this, or I could just do that. And I was obviously in this psalm and thinking about that and the value of the word. You know, you look at your families and the things that you have, or that your kids are walking with the Lord, and what wouldn't you trade away to keep that? You know, to not have the chaplain show up in the middle of the night at your house, or those things. But what value, talk about the hiding place and all that, what value do we place on the Word? You know, if someone were to come in, and this was not always the case, but if someone were to say, Brian, all those things that you think you need at times, I'm going to write a check. Or I'll give you $1 million, and in exchange, you can't look at this book ever again. You can't go to this book for comfort and read the promises of God ever again. There's not enough in this world to trade that away. The value of the Word, the comfort that's in His Word, the reminders, just the acknowledgement that back a page where He says, I'm small, I'm despised, yet I don't forget your precepts, and that God knows us individually, and to be reminded of that in this Word, in this world. Where was I? Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. We're 153 verses in, and he's still, God, consider my affliction. Still in pain. There's so much comfort in this psalm for me. I love, in fact, the direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. It was written on my refrigerator, so I'd see it every day, you know, for a long time. Just, I want the Lord to order my steps. And I've talked about God using pain. You guys have heard of Chuck Swindoll, famous author, Charles Swindoll, Chuck, great Bible teacher, you know, and great writer. I think he's put out bestseller after bestseller after bestseller. And I was listening to somebody today speak about him and asking him about that. Chuck, how do you do that? You got an incredible way with words, and where do you get that gifting from? And his explanation was that it comes from pain. You know, without the pain, the words don't flow. And I think that's the heart of the psalmist here. He's going through this, but he's writing this as a song for Israel, for them to understand where to go in their pain, where comfort's available. Verse 154, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not see your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. What a statement to be made in pain. You know, we don't read between 153 and 156 that he was delivered, that the affliction was taken away. But he says, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and I'm disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. There's a word for the world. The entirety of this word is truth. Yeah, verse 114. I hope in your word. You know, what hope does the world have outside of God's word? Outside of God, outside of knowing God, no knowledge of eternity, no knowledge of salvation. Our post Christian generation, this 25 and under. Well, yeah, and I had that conversation this week with a couple of people about that, and that was my question: is what is your belief based on? My own understanding. Okay, so yours is different than yours, you know, and there's no standard by which truth is measured in their eyes. Sad. And the psalmist has, like I said, hasn't been delivered, doesn't have all the answers, but my eyes tire seeking your salvation, Lord, but my hope is in your word. I know you're faithful. I know you're good, even though my circumstances are trying right now and are hard. My hope is in your word. Verse 161, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word. For all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I've chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. It's amazing that last verse description, when you hear 175 verses of seeking the Lord and the value of his word and all of that, and he says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek me, Lord. When my heart fails, when I waver, he goes back to the order of my steps, every single step. God, be in charge of that. Seek me, for I do not forget your commandments. Okay, I won't limit you to however many verses we went. Any verse in Psalm 119 that stands out to you as one of your favorites? One you turn to? Yeah? We've had a conversation about this recently, and the idea, you know, we live in an independent society, right? Nobody wants to be under anybody else. We all want to be independent and be the boss and all that. And being a boss is a heavy position to be in. You know, the best is always to be, I was going to say under shepherd, but the number two guy or whatever, because then ultimately somebody else is got the final accountability, you know, the final responsibility. They're the ones that gets their head chopped, you know, when things go bad. And yeah, they're responsible and you reap the benefits. But there's comfort in that, knowing that somebody else, if you can trust them, there's comfort in knowing that somebody else is in charge and they got this and you're following their instruction and you're on board with that. And exactly right. That's the psalmist's heart here is, Lord, I've longed for your commandments. I've longed to know that I'm doing the right thing because you're leading me and I'm not going my own way. I love your law, again. Okay. Anything else, just quick? You want to just tell us the number of the verse? Because I know we only got like 15 minutes, so yeah. Can I read it just in case everyone here hasn't memorized Isaiah 41:10? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 159, revive me, Lord, according to your loving kindness. You know? Yeah, I'll take a lot of that. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. That ties into a conversation I had this week three times, because it was, you know, okay, help me to understand your belief. Help me to understand where you're coming from, which leads into, okay, what if you're wrong? You know, what if we get down to the end and this belief that you have based on nothing other than your own feelings, your own belief, what if you're wrong and I'm right? You know, that, and that's what that verse says. Help me not be ashamed. Help me not be look like a fool in the end that I'm wrong, Lord, because I'm believing your word. Yeah, thank you for sharing. All right, guys, let's pray. My wife is driving back from Pennsylvania. She took Susan down to look at a couple schools, so pray for them as well. Yep, Barbara. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, give us the heart of the psalmist here. Help us to recognize the value of your word, and Lord, we do pray for the banquet and for the First Step Ministry, Lord, that they'd have a good response, that the word would get out, and that people would come and they would give. And Father, we do thank you and praise you for the good report that Jill received after her surgery. Lord, we give you the glory for that. And Lord, this family that Tina mentioned, Father, such a horrible thing for a parent to deal with the death of a child. And this is something that's more and more common, particularly in our state, with overdoses. And Father, I pray that you'd be their comforter. Lord, I know this family's gone through several things recently. And Lord, in that, I just pray that they would find hope, that they would find you, Lord, that you'd put people in their lives as a result of this. Lord, that they would find comfort in you, and that this would not be just another senseless tragedy, Lord, but that value and good would come out of it in their lives. So, and Lord, I pray that you'd be with Susan and Nicole as they travel home tonight. Lord, keep them safe. I know they're tired. Give them wisdom as if they should stop or not, but bring them home safe, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.